I have my bag in the passenger seat. It is a leather handbag. It looks expensive. It is the only thing I have left that suggests I belong in this suburb. I am parked outside the Woolworths. I watch a woman my age load groceries into a silver SUV. She has a husband helping her. He closes the boot for her. I wonder if she knows what her superannuation balance is. I wonder if she knows that love is not a retirement plan. The sun is hitting the dashboard. It is hot. I keep the windows up because I do not want anyone to smell the upholstery. I slept in the back seat last night. I am 60 years old. I have spent 40 of those years making sure other people were comfortable. My husband, my children, my dying mother. I was the glue. I was the one who remembered birthdays and bought the school shoes. I was the one who stayed home when the kids had the flu. I did not get paid. I did not get a pension contribution. I got a thank you. Sometimes I did not even get that. I look at my phone. The balance is $12. My husband died 3 years ago. I thought the house was ours. I thought the life we built was a shared asset. But the debt was his, and the house was his, and the mistakes were his. The bank does not care about how many meals I cooked. They do not care about the years I spent out of the workforce. They see a gap in my resume. They see a woman with no value. I am invisible. That is the truth of it. When I walk down the street, people see a well-dressed grandmother. They do not see a woman who hasn't had a hot meal in 3 days. They do not see the way my knees ache from curling up in a Toyota Corolla. I am part of a statistic now. I read about it in the paper before I had to cancel the subscription. Invisible labor, that is what they call it. It sounds like a ghost story. It feels like a haunting. I remember when I quit my job at the bank. It was 1994. Our son was born. My husband said it made more sense for me to stay home. He said he would take care of everything. He did. He took care of the bills and the mortgage and the investments. I took care of the soul of the house. I thought we were a team. I thought we were building a future. I did not realize I was building his future. I was just a guest in it. The woman with the SUV drives away. I check my mirrors. I need to move the car. If I stay here too long, the security guard will notice. I drive to the park near the beach. It is a beautiful day. The water is blue. People are jogging. They look so sure of their place in the world. I used to be one of them. I used to think that if you worked hard and played by the rules, you would be safe. I followed every rule. I was a good wife. I was a good mother. I was a good daughter. I am still homeless. My daughter called me yesterday. She lives in London. She asked how I was doing. I told her I was fine. I told her the weather was lovely. I could hear her toddler screaming in the background. She sounded tired. She is doing exactly what I did. She is working part-time to manage the childcare. She is letting her career slide to keep the peace. I wanted to scream at her. I wanted to tell her to look at me. I wanted to tell her to check her bank account every single day. But I didn't. I couldn't bear for her to know. I couldn't bear to be a burden. I find a spot under a tree. I turn off the engine. I have to save petrol. Petrol is more important than air conditioning. I open my notebook. I have a list of charities. I have a list of low-income housing waitlists. The wait is 10 years. I will be 70 by then. I do not think I can live in a car for 10 years. I think about the invisible labor study I saw on the news at the library. They said women in Australia contribute billions to the economy for free. They said the system relies on us. It relies on our silence. It relies on our shame. If we all stopped, the world would break. But we don't stop. We keep going until we have nothing left. Then the world forgets we were ever there. My back hurts. It is a dull, constant throb. I try to stretch in the seat. I catch my reflection in the rearview mirror. I look old. I look like a woman who has been used up. I spent my youth making sure everyone else reached their potential. I was the foundation, but foundations are buried in the dirt. No one looks at them. No one thanks them for holding up the house until the house falls down. I see a man walking a dog. He looks like my husband. For a second, I feel a surge of anger. I want to hit him. I want to demand my years back. I want a refund for every floor I mopped and every tear I wiped. I want the money that should have been in my name. I want the security I was promised by a society that told me family was the highest calling. I take a deep breath. The anger is a luxury I cannot afford. It makes me hungry. I take a sip of water. It is warm. I spend the afternoon writing letters. I write to the council. I write to the Department of Housing. I use my best handwriting. I sound polite. I sound like a woman who is just having a bit of bad luck. I do not tell them I am terrified. I do not tell them I cry myself to sleep because I am scared of the dark. I do not tell them I am a ghost. As the sun begins to set, My phone buzzes. It is a text message from a local church group. I went there 2 days ago. They say they have a bed for me, just for tonight. They say someone canceled. It is a crisis center. I have to be there by 7 p.m. I feel a rush of relief. It is so strong it makes me feel sick. I am happy because I get to sleep in a room with a door that locks. I am grateful for a thin mattress and a shared bathroom. This is what my life has become. This is the reward for 40 years of service. I start the car. The engine idles. I look at the beach one last time. The sky is pink and orange. It is beautiful. It is the kind of view people pay millions for. I am seeing it for free. I drive toward the shelter. I know the way. I have looked it up a dozen times. I pull into the gravel lot. The building is gray and peeling. There is a line of people at the door. I see a woman who looks even older than me. She is clutching a plastic bag. I get out of the car. I fix my hair in the window. I straighten my coat. I walk toward the door. I hold my head high. I look like I am just visiting. I look like I have a home to go back to. The man at the desk checks my ID. He hands me a slip of paper. Room 4B. He tells me there is soup in the kitchen. He doesn't look at my face. He looks at his clipboard. I walk down the hallway. It smells like bleach and old carpet. I find my room. There are two other beds. One is empty. The other has a woman sitting on it. She looks at me and nods. She doesn't say anything. I sit on my bed. It is narrow. The sheets are stiff, but it is flat. I can lay all the way down. I put my handbag on the floor. I am safe for 12 hours. I have a bed. I have a roof. I am not on the street. I lie back and close my eyes. I feel the weight of my body on the mattress. It is a hollow kind of peace. I have won a small battle, but the war is already over. I lost my life a long time ago. I just didn't notice until the walls were gone. I stay awake for a long time listening to the sounds of the building. People coughing. A TV in the distance. The wind hitting the window. I am here. I am still here. Tomorrow I will wake up, and I will leave. I will go back to the car. I will go back to the library. I will keep looking for a way out of the web. But tonight, I am just a woman in a bed. I am 60 years old. I have $12. And for the first time in 40 years, I am not taking care of anyone but myself. It is the most expensive rest I have ever had.